This morning, we continue our series, More Than Enough, with the title, The Recipe. And we turn to Philippians in the New Testament. It's near the back of the Bible. It's a small book, but an impactful and important letter. Philippians chapter 4 is, in some ways, a thank you note, in some ways, an encouragement letter, and in some ways, a get it together reminder. I invite you not just to follow along on the screens this morning, but to open up your electronic devices or your paper copies of the Bible so that you can follow along and make some notes this morning, because we're going to talk about the recipe that God gives us for contentment and generosity. Philippians chapter 4. I'm going to start in verse 4, but jump around a little bit. And I'm reading from Eugene Peterson's translation of the Bible called The Message. Celebrate God. Celebrate God all day, every day. I mean, revel in Him. Make it as clear as you can to all you meet that you're on their side, working with them and not against them. Help them see that the Master is about to arrive. He could show up any minute. Do not fret or worry. Instead of worrying, pray. Let petition and praise shape your worries into prayers, letting God know your concerns. Before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness, everything coming together for good, will come and settle you down. It's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life. Summing it all up, friends, I'd say you'll do best by filling your minds and meditating on things true, noble, reputable, authentic, compelling, gracious, the best, not the worst. The beautiful, not the ugly. Things to praise, not things to curse. Put into practice what you learned from me, what you heard and saw and realized. Do that. And God, who makes everything work together, will work you into His most excellent harmonies. We're going down to chapter 11, the second part of 11, which is called verse B, 11b. I've learned by now to be quite content, whatever my circumstances. I'm just as happy with little as with much. With much as with little, I've found the recipe for being happy, whether full or hungry, hands full or hands empty. Whatever I have, wherever I am, I can make it through anything in the one who makes me who I am. And now to 17b. But I want you to experience the blessing that issues from generosity. 19 and 20. You can be sure that God will take care of everything you need. his generosity exceeding even yours in the glory that pours from Jesus. Our God and Father abounds in glory that just pours out into eternity. Yes. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord, here we are to worship. Here we are to bow down. Here we are to say that you are indeed our worthy and our holy God. So, Lord, have your way. Pour out a fresh anointing on this, your servant, so that the Holy Spirit preacher may come. For if the Holy Spirit does not preach today, there will be no preaching here. Have your way, O God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Discontent. Discontent is one of the prevailing diseases that wrecks our nation. It wrecks our world. It causes us to stand in a constant state where we are displeased with where we are, what we're doing, or what we have. Discontent leads to devastating consequences. It leads to a perpetual state of sadness or downturnedness or even depression. Discontent leads us to steal and to kill. Discontent leads us to lie and to cheat. Discontent leads us to behave in ways that we know we ought not behave. We are in the constant pursuit of more. We are in the constant pursuit of keeping up with the Joneses. Discontent leads us to destruction. God makes promises to us, as you've seen in Philippians chapter 4. God makes promises that God will give us everything that we need and that everything that we have is a gift from God. And yet the people who say that they love and honor and follow God are walking around always expecting more. God is more than enough. We can expect more than our current circumstance, but we can't expect it in lieu of discontent. What I know for sure after almost 41 years of life is that people who live in a constant state of discontent don't fully experience the generosity of God in their lives. It's like a blocker. We're in football season, and my nephew is playing on a college football team that is undefeated this year, and we're really proud of him, and he's made some incredible touchdowns this season because the blockers were in place. Blocking is required in football. Blocking is devastating in the economy of God. What is blocking you from the promises of God in your life? What is blocking you from contentment? What is blocking you from generosity? What is blocking you from being grateful in all things, every day, all the time, just because God is God? The scripture this morning says, celebrate. Celebrate God all day, every day. I mean, revel in him. Make it clear to everyone you meet that you're on their side. Working with them and not against them. Help them to see that Jesus is the ever-present help in the time of trouble. What does it mean to celebrate God? You guys know that my dad was here last week. And we were so grateful to have him with us. And I was so grateful to have him in my home. And Monday morning, we got up and he said, "Jasmine, I haven't heard that in a while." I said, "Heard what?" He said, "Do you know that you woke up singing this morning?" I said, "No, I didn't." He said, "You woke up singing. I heard it." I said, "Dad, I don't remember that." He said, "You woke up singing." I said, what was I singing?" And he said, "I was singing praise to God." And this is what happens when we are in a place where we can celebrate God, whether we are conscious of it or not. We are always singing praise to God, either literally or figuratively, with the way we live, with the way we treat people, with the way we show up in other people's lives. Celebrate God all day, every day. It's a way of living. It's a way of life. It's a way of showing up in the world. It's a vibe that you give out to other people. That you are always have your face raised to the Most High God, saying, "This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I was glad when they said unto me, 'Let us go into the house of the Lord.' I will praise the Lord in season and out of season. I will lift up mine eyes to the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord." Hallelujah, anyhow. The recipe: celebration and praise. Write that down, because when we finish this, we're going to have something to put together here. The recipe requires celebration and praise. It's not going to come out right if you wake up and say, "Oh, another day." And it's not going to come out right if you're testifying all around. You're going to get that in a minute. If you people ask you how you're doing and you say, "Blessed and highly favored of the Lord," but you don't mean it at all. The recipe isn't going to come out right if everything that flows out of your spirit is complaint or discontent or anger or envy or jealousy or meanness. The recipe won't come out right if you're looking towards separation instead of unity. It's not going to come out right if you're looking to get ahead of somebody instead of trying to walk together, children. Don't you get weary. Celebration and praise. The Apostle Paul goes on to say, "Don't worry." Instead of worrying, pray. "Pastor, how do I get past discontent?" Baby, you better learn how to talk to Jesus. And it better be your first reaction to everything that happens in your life. My cousin passed away shortly after I came to be your pastor in 2016, and I was taking care of her. She'd been battling stomach cancer for years and years and years. And she passed. But right before she passed, we were in the hospital, her daughter and I. And her daughter started singing the songs that her mother had taught her growing up and that she learned in Sunday school and she learned in church. And Joyce, my cousin, could not say words anymore. She was not communicating with us anymore, Dr. Bob, and we were getting ready to move her to hospice care. And Beth, her daughter, started singing, "Have a little talk with Jesus. Tell him all about your troubles. He will hear our earnest cry, and he'll answer by and by. There's a little prayer we'll turn in, no prayer you're burning. Have a little talk with Jesus, makes it right. You know what Joy started doing? Her mouth started moving. Her hands started moving. Her feet started moving. She had not responded to us in days, but you can hear, have a little talk with Jesus. Tell all about my troubles. Hear my honest cry. He'll answer by and by. Celebration. Praise, exchanging worry for prayer. And if it becomes who you are, when you need God the most, God will be in you in such a way that it affects everybody around you. I'll never be the same after witnessing that. I'll never be the same after witnessing Virginia Cathcart sing Amazing Grace when she had not talked in 3 days. And less than an hour later, taking her last breath. You can't beat discontentment without God. You cannot get to a generous life without God. You cannot live in gratitude without God. The recipe requires celebration, praise, and prayer. You don't hear me this morning. Paul said, let your petitions and praises shape your worries into prayers. Letting God know your concerns. Before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness, everything comes together for good. It will come into place and settle you down. It's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life. If you pray and you continue to worry about the things that you pray about, you're doing it wrong. Did you hear me this morning? If you pray and you continue to worry about the things that you pray about, you are not doing it correctly. Part of prayer is shifting the worry off of you and onto God. And if we really trust God the way we say we trust God, we don't have to worry about what we're talking to God about. And even if it doesn't go our way, we know that God has our best interest at heart. Celebration. Praise. Prayer. Discontent happens because we are focused on the wrong things. Discontent happens because we're focused on lack. We're focused on what we don't have. We're focused on what somebody else is doing. We're focused on what somebody else has, instead of being focused on where God wants us to be for such a time as this. It says, summing it up all, friends, fill your mind. Fill your mind on things true, noble, reputable, authentic, compelling, gracious, the best, not the worst, the beautiful, not the ugly, things to praise, not to curse. Practice what you learned from me. And if you do it, God, who makes everything work together, will work you into his most excellent harmonies. What does that mean? It matters what you allow to drive your mind. It matters what you say to yourself. It matters what you allow yourself to hear from other people. We know for a fact that children who are raised being told that they are smart and kind and beautiful are more successful and have a better life than children who are told that they are nothing, that they were an accident, that their father was nothing, that their mother was nothing, and that they will be nothing. It matters what we say to each other. You didn't know you could add because nobody ever told you you could add. The Color Purple is one of my favorite movies. And Whoopi Goldberg, who plays Celie in the original movie, she is abused, put down, told that she is nothing. And she gets to a point where she realizes that God does not make nothing. And she goes to the man who has made her life a living hell. And she says to him, I may be ugly. I may be stupid. I may be all those things that you called me. But what I know is I'm here. I survived it all. And God is still God. And God is still at work. And God is still doing good. And God is on the throne. And what a human tells you has nothing on what God says about you. God doesn't make junk. The recipe calls for celebration. It calls for praise. It calls for prayer. And it calls for a reorientation in your mind. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. If you knew what I know. Remember, I told you that Paul is writing a thank you letter. He finally gets to it about verse 11 or 10, and he says, actually, I don't really need anything. He says, I'm really grateful for what you did for me. But the Lord has given me everything I need. And this is how I know the Lord has given me everything I need. He said, I've learned how to be content, whatever my circumstances. Whatever is going on in my life, I know the Lord. I know the promises of God. And I know that I know that I know that I know that God does not lie and God does not fail. Whatever my circumstances, I'm just as happy with nothing as I am with everything. In other translation, it says, I've learned to be content with much, and I've learned to be content with little. I've learned what it means to be hungry. I've learned what it means to be full. And by the grace of God, I'm okay in every circumstance. He says, I've found the recipe. Underline that one. I found the recipe for being happy, whether full or hungry, hands full or hands empty. Whatever I have, wherever I am, I can make it through. And then comes the very first Bible verse I ever learned. In the NIV, it says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. If you don't teach your children, your grandchildren, your next door neighbor, the person who parks your car, the person who cleans up behind you, if you don't share anything with anybody else, tell them, I can do all things. Hallelujah. Through Christ who strengthens me. I know it was the first Bible verse I ever learned because it's gotten me through the worst days of my life. The recipe. What is it? Celebration. Praise. Prayer. Reorientation of the mind. And contentment. Paul tells them, he says, you Philippians know. And I'm sure you'll never forget it. That you were the only church that helped me when I needed help. Now that's important because the very beginning of this chapter that we didn't read in worship today, he's admonishing them for not getting along. Okay? He's saying, come on, you know how to be the church. Get it together. And then he comes back and says, you know how to be the church because you were the only ones who acted like the church when I needed the church. Don't miss this. Okay? It matters whether we are being the church or not. It doesn't matter whether anybody is looking at us or whether everybody is looking at us. It matters to God and it matters to the people of this community whether or not we are being the church. And in order to be the church, we have to get past our own discontentment. As long as we allow discontentment to hold us hostage, evil, the devil, whatever you want to call it, gets to run rampant and try to stop what God is doing. So are you an agent that sows evil? Or are you an agent that does the good work of God. Those are the only choices. There's no in between here. No lukewarm. Remember in Revelation, Jesus spits out the lukewarm. So the question today is, will you work on the recipe? Will you learn how to celebrate? Celebrate God every day, in everything, all the time. Will you turn and praise the Lord anyway? Sing hallelujah anyhow? Will it overflow from you just like it is you? Will you allow a realignment of your mind? Think on the things of God and not on the trash that is prevailing the airways these days. And will you live in contentment? Or will you fall into the trap that keeps you in evil? You see, what happens when we put this recipe together is that we get to experience the generosity of God. And we get to experience the generosity of God through people who have figured this recipe out. And the word of the Lord today, the challenge for you today is, will you be one of these people who both experience the generosity of God and make it your business to help others experience the generosity of God? It got quiet, Miss Smallwood. There was a yes. Paul said, don't forget, you can be sure that God will take care of everything you need. That God's generosity exceeds anything that you can imagine. That it pours out from Jesus. And that our God and our Father abounds into glory that just pours out into eternity. That God's very essence is generosity. So, if we don't get the recipe right, we live in discontent and a lack of generosity. But when we work on the recipe, when we're intentional about the recipe, when we turn our lives over to God and expect God to do the more than enough thing, then we live life experiencing generosity. Why does that matter? Some of you have told me that you want to meet Jesus face to face. Some of you have told me that you are ready to experience the goodness of God in the land of the living. And some of you have said that you want to spend eternity with God. And the Bible says that whatever you loose on heaven, on earth, is loosed in heaven. So if you don't want to unleash generosity here, right now, you will not unleash generosity into your eternity. Do you believe God or not? Do you love God or not? Do you want to spend your life with Jesus? On this side of eternity, on the other side of eternity, or not? The recipe gets us to generosity. Generosity gets us to Jesus. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen.